Practically every Indian in Johannesburg was in the crowd outside the courthouse, awaiting word of Gandhi's fate. When the news of the magistrate's decision arrived, an ocean of small black flags appeared as if on command. Spontaneous chanting broke out. Following a very large single black flag, hoisted aloft on a long pole, the crowd surged out of the square in a procession that would take it onto the street where Gandhi's office was located. Gandhi, meanwhile, was taken to a holding room to await his jailers. As he sat there...
That's author and endowed Woodrow A. Podesta Professor of Law, Charles DeSalvo, reading an excerpt of his new book, The Man Before the Mahatma, M.K. Gandhi, Attorney at Law.
The square where he addressed a large public meeting just a short time ago. Now these were all being taken from him. The thought shook him. For the first time in his life, he was going to prison.
DeSalvo says producing this work that explores Gandhi's early life in South Africa had been a personal goal of his since he discovered that Gandhi was, in fact, a lawyer for 25 years before becoming a pacifist reformer in India.
I was astounded because he becomes a civil disobedient while he's a practicing lawyer. While he's a practicing lawyer, he develops his philosophy and his practice of nonviolent civil disobedience. And I ask myself, is there not a connection between these two, between his practice of law and his development of this philosophy? And why hasn't anybody explored this? So I just decided to make it my mission to do that.
DeSalvo gives much credit to the many law and history students who, along with him, read through some 10,000 newspapers from South Africa, which held keys to unlocking details of Gandhi's career as a lawyer and a politician. DeSalvo says it was that Herculean effort that perhaps prevented anyone else from writing this book earlier. One intriguing insight, DeSalvo says Gandhi had a near-terminal case of shyness, an unlikely quality for an aspiring lawyer. He says Gandhi's severe stage fright made the start of his career, publicly presenting cases, rather rocky.
In fact, in his one of his first cases in India, where he tried to launch a practice and failed, he had to basically withdraw from the case because he was too nervous in court.
DeSalvo explains that it was in South Africa, which at the time was considered something of a backwater, where he worked to overcome his fear.
And he grew in that. He rose to the occasion, and he changed. Before he leaves South Africa, before he gives up the practice of law, he's on his feet giving speeches that last 2 and more hours. This is how much he changed. Wow. He became the Mahatma in South Africa.
Today, DeSalvo says he feels he could go back in time and feel quite comfortable strolling through the streets of Durban and Johannesburg with Gandhi. And he says there were certainly surprises in his journey getting to know the lawyer who became the legend. He points to one example of a tactic that Gandhi, a consummate politician, used to secure the rights of Indians in British South Africa.
The British South Africa, of course, was run by Europeans who identified with the United Kingdom, because Indians were also members of the empire. Gandhi's argument was, we are fellow members of the empire. You should not be discriminating against us. We are not like these black people.
Wow.
We are better than they are. We are different from them, and you should not treat us like them. It was shocking to see that.
DeSalvo points out that nevertheless, Nelson Mandela would come to lionize Gandhi. He says Mandela recognized that young Gandhi was developing and would someday be a friend to the black community. He hopes that he and all his students take a lesson from the path to Mahatma.
At first, there's a strong distinction between his legal work and the work that is fueled by his politics, his morality, and his spirituality. Eventually, those two come a little closer when he starts devoting some of his practice to civil rights work. And then at the end of his practice, his entire practice is devoted to his political, moral, and spiritual beliefs. And at that point, he becomes integrated. There's only one Gandhi at that point. There's not two. Mm-hmm. There's one. And to me, that is a goal for myself and for all lawyers, that we should have practices that in some respect, none of us can do this the way Gandhi did, in some respect, our practices are an expression of who we are politically, morally, and spiritually.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.